Second Chronicles, chapter 34. And I was having problems last week. And the pastor filled in almost adequately last time. But Second Chronicles, chapter 34, and we got through verse 19, and it came to pass when the king heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes. Now they had been repairing, straightening up the temple, and they had found the book of the law. And when the king heard the words of the book of the law, I made mention he had done all these things. He had fixed all the temple up and straightening this out and that out. And when he heard the words of the law, he rent his clothes. He realized how sinful he was. And we, as children of God, we have the Holy Spirit, but we also have our own human nature. And we'll have that until the Lord takes us home. So here he is. He's despondent. What can I do? I thought I've done all this good stuff for God. Look at how good I've been, a wonderful servant I am. But no. So despondent, he rent his clothes. Verse 20, and the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan, the scribe, and Azariah, a servant of the king, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me, and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. And he realized they were under God's judgment. Now, a lot of times, if you go speeding down the road, and nice young man pulls you over and he says, do you know how fast you were going? Which obviously you do. And he gives you a ticket. And then you go before the judge and he says, do you realize how fast you were going? I'm not sure why that question keeps popping up, but there's judgment there. There's judgment. And even for the most minuscule thing. And this is before a man who is an imperfect judge. And we're going to talk more about judgment here just in a little bit. But he sees, Josiah sees that, well, we're under God's judgment. Not just anybody's judgment. That we're under God's judgment. And he said, go inquire of the Lord for me. I need to know what to do. And for them that are left in Israel, remember, Israel's already been taken. They were taken under the reign of Hezekiah. And in Judah. So, what are we going to do? We're in a terrible shape concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us. Now, if you're speeding, you might get a fine, and they might say, well, you got to pay this much money. And if they catch you speeding multiple times, they might say, you're going to pay this much money, plus you're going to spend a little bit of time in the hoose cap. Something like that. But here, God's judgment is perfect. Man's judgment is flawed in every case. And he goes on to say, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord. Now, is he trying to shift the blame? I don't think so. I think he realized that not only them, I mean, he's talking about, you know, he says, go seek, inquire of the Lord for me. And he goes on, even our fathers. Hezekiah was a great king. And yet, he was under God's judgment. My fathers had not kept the word of the Lord. Now, do we, nowadays, do we keep the word of the Lord, you know, to get salvation? You know, people seem to think somehow or another, and I'm not sure how they come up with this, you know, if you do this much good and this much bad, then the scale says, okay, you get to go to heaven. And that's not the way it goes. If you've done this much bad at all, and since we're all born in sin, we've all done this much bad. Without the Lord, we have no hope. And I don't know if Josiah was thinking, you know, that he had no hope or what, but he wanted to find out. The first thing he said, you know, we've done wrong. We need to find out from the Lord. Go inquire of the Lord for me. And because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord, neither us, to do after all that is written in this book. And you notice it says all that is written in this book. Now, we have a few verses that people like to look up, you know, like the Ten Commandments and stuff like that. But there's other things written in this book. And we need to keep everything. Now, if you're a Gentile, there are some things about the Mosaic laws that don't directly pertain to us. But we should be in a spirit of obedience to the Lord. And this morning, we don't have a whole lot of people here. Now, some of the back roads, I understand, are not real great or anything like that, but there have been other times when we've had not too many people here, and people could have been here. And one of the things in this book is we are not to forsake the assembly together, as the manner of some is. We are to pay our tithes. And that doesn't mean just pay money. We are to give a tenth of everything we possess, everything that we have. Not doesn't necessarily mean you got to give them a tenth of your car, but you know, let's say we use the car to do this, that, and the other thing. Why not use the car to come to God's house? Why not use the car to go visit people, to tell them about the Lord, or to encourage people that are maybe shut in? We need to do all that is written in this book. Verse 22, and Hilkiah, and they that the king had appointed, the ones that he mentioned up here in verse 20, went to Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikvath, the son of Hasra, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they spoke to her to that effect. Now, I don't think we're going to get much farther than this in 2 Chronicles today, but we are going to spend some time studying about prophetesses. Now, I know we're studying about the kings, or at least we're supposed to be. But sometimes your teacher has things that kind of says, well, that's interesting. You know, and I want to do it because we've been wanting to chase this rabbit for probably about a month now. But anyway, they went to Huldah, the prophetess. Now, we're going to talk about prophetesses. I want to finish up this particular verse, and then we'll start talking about prophetesses. And who is she? She is the wife of Shallum, the son of Tekvath. Okay, we're getting a little bit of vantage here. The son of Hasra, keeper of the wardrobe. Now, it's not clear here if it's talking about the wardrobe of the king, but since this is talking about the king, I think it probably was, rather than the keeper of the wardrobe for the priest. And many that think, you know, well, the priest was the one that had the special wardrobe, the things that he was to wear when he went into the Holy of Holies, that's who maybe he was keeper of the wardrobe too. I believe it probably means the keeper of the wardrobe for the king. And it goes on to say, now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college. Now this is just like today, it's a place of learning where you go to find things. Now it doesn't say if she was a student there or whether she was an instructor. Now I doubt that she was an instructor, but it doesn't say she was a student either, but she was there, she was in that particular place, and it's called her a prophetess. Now we're going to get to that. And they spoke to her to that effect. They went to her to talk and find out what the Lord said. Now, I don't know about y'all. Some of you probably had saved parents. Both were saved. In my home, my mom was saved, my dad wasn't. If I wanted to learn anything about the Bible, I couldn't go to my dad. I had to go to my mom. And did that make her a prophetess? No. She told me what the word of the Lord said. Does that mean that she was taking authority over me other than parental authority? No. She was my mom. And that's the authority she had over me. As a child of God, she didn't take authority over me. And she instructed me as to what the Bible says. And we have other instances of that in the Bible. Timothy's mother and grandmother instructed him. And Paul didn't say, well, they shouldn't have done that. They should have sent you to some man somewhere. No. Now, it's important that a woman keep her place. But her place is to instruct her children too. And in this case, the men went to her. Now, there's, I won't say many definitions, but there are many types of what the Bible calls prophetesses. And in this case, Huldah, I believe, was what you would just call her an inspired woman. The Lord gave her His Word, the understanding in His Word, and I believe that's something that, you know, we ought to strive for. A lot of times we read the words, but we don't really try to find out what they're saying. And that's why we're going to do this little rabbit tracks here and study about prophetesses. We don't know. Well, let's just get started on it right now. I'll turn to Exodus 15. Exodus 15, verses 20 and 21. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed seriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." But who was Miriam? She was sister to Aaron, and obviously sister to Moses. Aaron was Moses' brother, so at the very least, I don't know if there were a death or a remarriage or anything like that. I'm not going to put information in there that we don't have. But she was the sister to Aaron. Aaron was the prophet, right? So, anyway, she had a close relation to him. And that is how some people can be called a prophetess. Now, we don't have that many to go. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's how many times, well, actually, there's 8 times that prophetess is mentioned in the Bible. That's 8 with the extra finger there. But one in 2 Kings and one in 2 Chronicles are the same one. So actually there's only 7 mentioned. Now what about Miriam? Was she what we would consider a prophetess, or was she just related to one? And I think in this instance that she was just related to one. It doesn't say that she prophesied or anything like that. It says that she went out with timbrels, and the other women went out with her. And Miriam, in verse 21, answered them, or he told them, instructed them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously." Now, that's basically just saying what the Lord did. It's not trying to take authority or predicting things. "The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." She's just saying, you know, this is what happened. And this is why we need to sing unto the Lord. Now, you know, she said, went out with a timbrel. And, you know, I always thought timbrels were some little things, you know, when they, like a little cymbal, timbrel. Like a little tiny cymbal. No, it's more like a tambourine-like thing. It was like a percussion instrument that they would tap on. And I didn't realize that for, many moons. So Miriam is related to the prophet. Turn to Exodus 15. Oh, wait a minute, that's where we're at. turn to Judges. Judges chapter 4. You ought not laugh at me, I'm old. And there is a lot to read here, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. Judges chapter 4. And basically the whole chapter, so that can be your homework. Anyway, we'll pick it up in verse 4. "And Deborah, a prophetess, wife of Rapidoth, she judged Israel at that time." Now, it says she was a judge, but it also says she was a prophetess. Now, Lapidoth, as far as I can tell, was not a prophet. And it might not even be that was her husband, as some seem to think that that's where she was from. I think really that this was, I won't even go there, but anyway, she says, of Lapidoth, the wife of Lapidoth. Now, I don't know whether those that think that this was a place, Lapidoth was a place where they don't, you know, the wife of? Okay. That seems to me to mean that Lapidoth was actually her husband. We don't know anything else about him. But she judged Israel. Verse 5, and she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah. Remember Deborah? Between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Now, I don't think this is the same kind of judgment they went to, like the gates of Jerusalem, when they went to see the judges. Now, this was during the time of the judges. This was prior to the kings and everything like that. The judges were pretty much in control. They were the ones you went to see. And I think probably she was just not necessarily one of the judges that the people went to for those matters. I think they went to her for judgment. You know, who's right here? Is this right or wrong? And she sent, verse 6, and she sent and called Barak, the son of Benoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward the Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and the children of Zebulun. So she just telling them what the Lord has told her. And she sent and called Barak, who was the leader then, and tell him, hath not the Lord said? Now, I don't know whether the Lord had already said this to Barak or not, but she said, has not the Lord said? So apparently, he has already heard this, and now he's hearing it again from her. Anyway, she is just... We're not even going to get to the end of the rabbit tracks today. Anyway, he goes and what? Basically, he says, if you'll go with me, I'll go. And she says, yeah, I'll go. So he goes and he gets the army. Where from? Naphtali and the children of Zebulun. He got an army of 10,000 men. And they went and did what the Lord told them to do. Now, this is chapter 4 of Judges. Read it. It's a good read, and it'll instruct you. You know, you don't dismiss what a woman says because she's a woman. I'm sure every one of you here, I have been instructed of my wife on many occasions. And yet I know she is under subjection to me. So, does that mean she's stepping out of place? No. She's just helping me out here. You know, the Lord gave me her as a helpmeet. So, she's going to help. Anyway, read all of Judges chapter 4. We've already read about Huldah in 2 Chronicles. She is also in 2 Kings chapter 22. And turn to Nehemiah 6. Verses 11 through 14. And I'm going to just read and not really explain much of anything. Nehemiah 6, verses 11 through 14. And I said, should such a man as I flee, this is Nehemiah talking about himself, where they were trying to get him to go into God's house to hide out. Should I go into, such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, will go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. That's not what the temple was for. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy. Now, these were the guys that Shemaiah had come and told him, you need to hide in the temple. Anyway, he said, no, Nehemiah says, no, I can't go in. And he perceived that God had not sent him, and that Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him, you know, to get him to go in the house of the Lord when he shouldn't have. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. In other words, they were going to try to get him to do something he shouldn't do so they could use it against him. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works. In other words, he placed them in the Lord's hands, and there's some times when we need to do that. You pray to God for people, and sometimes you turn them over to the Lord. They're in your hands, and we know they are anyway. But second part of verse 14, and on the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. Those that were trying to put him in fear of serving the Lord. And in this case, she was a false prophet. She was not doing what the Lord would have her to do. Now, Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 3. Now this is Isaiah speaking, and I went unto the prophetess, and she conceived and bare a son. Then said the Lord to me, call his name Maher Shalal Hashbaz. Now, there's more to that name I wanted to get into, the name of the child here. He's talked about in verse 1 as well. And he is the one talking about he would go after those that were the prey, those that were the enemies, and he was to receive the spoil of the enemy. So anyway, what is the prophetess here? She is the unknown prophetess, the husband of or the wife of Isaiah. Okay, anyway. So anyway, what is her position? Basically, she is the wife of the prophet. Now, yesterday we studied a little bit about Anna in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verses 36. Through 38. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher, and she was of great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but serve God with fasting and prayer night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So, says Anna was a prophetess. Now, that could just mean, as we mentioned before, it just could mean an inspired woman. Maybe she was well-versed in the word of the Lord. And so she knew what was going on. So there was something extra there, not just being well-versed. You know, she wouldn't know what this is. Anyway, she gave thanks unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And it goes on to talk about they had performed the things that according to the law on the eighth day there was to be the circumcision and all that. But she was at the very least an inspired woman. And then one other thing. Many people wonder about prophets. You know, we have, back in the olden days, way olden days, they had Moses and the prophets. Well, after Malachi, there was no prophets until John. Now, in Luke 1, verse 67, we have Zacharias, who was John's father, and his father, verse 67, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." Now, is this true prophecy? Is this make him a prophet? No. It's just God has fulfilled his word. He has kept his promise. He said, "I'm going to redeem my people, Israel." And he has. So, while Zacharias prophesied, basically in this instant he's talking about just preaching or telling of the word. And then John in 76 through 79, Luke 1:76 through 79, "And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." So John, from Malachi to John, there was no prophet. Now, we have one more prophet. Prophet S. Turn to Revelation chapter 2. Again, we'll turn one more page. Revelation 2, verse 18. "And to the angel of the church of Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet..." Hold on here a minute. Okay, 18 through 20. Okay, I was just going to read 18, but you got to read the whole thing. Anyway, And to the angel of the church at Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. So we have another one of the false prophetesses. So I went a little over, but we got a visiting preacher today from down south, and he's probably cold, but anyway, y'all stand by in about 5 minutes. Brother Adam Smith is going to deliver the message this morning.